Welcome to the Tom and Mick Show.
We're back in 2024. I'm excited. Thin Lizzy, the boys are back in town. How you going, mate?
Yeah, going well. Thanks, Tomo. Going well. New year, new us. Fired up with a new jingle at the start, mate. Talk us through that.
Look, a mate of mine writes jingles for a living, and I said, hey, would you like to write a song for Mick and I? And he said, bloody oath. And that's what he put together. Michael Yaw, look him up.
He's good. But
more importantly, episode one, who have we got? What's the story? Talk us through it, Michael.
Couple of young Brooks and Dunn. Mate, got a big hitter on the show this week, which I'm sure everyone will be revved up for. Goes by the name of Jimmy Blaine, aka Bull Train, one of the up-and-coming commission buyers in northern New South Wales. Blaino, welcome to the show, mate.
No, thanks, boys. Thanks for having us.
D-Train, tell us a little bit about yourself, your career, and what you do for a crust.
So based up in northern New South Wales, about 5K out of Inverell, and I'm a full-time commission cattle buyer and trying to do a bit of sheep buying when I can. But, 10 weekly sales, sort of Tamworth, Gunnedah, Dalby, Armidale. And before that, I was sort of in farm management, running fencing crews, worked in the territory for a while, driving a few trucks. Yeah, even did a teaching degree in between.
And you still wheel a couple of 18-wheelers on the weekend, mate?
I did. I've just been driving a triple out at Moree, doing a bit of highway expansion and slinging a bit of mud with the boys. So that's going well.
Yeah, nice, very good. And, mate, you said you're based at Inverell, but work from, you know, pretty well from southern Queensland down into Victoria. How's the season around you in the patch that you cover?
Yeah, at the moment, so let's say Tamworth, Gunnedah, across to sort of Narrabri through there is probably the driest of it. They've sort of been missing out on a few of these storms. But Baraba to, let's say, Dalby looks sensational. And then, let's say, sort of Carcore and down to the south is still looking really well, especially for this time of year.
Mate, and probably goes without saying, as part of your job, there's been plenty of widespread rain and the cattle market's been on a good little run for a couple of months now. Where do you see it heading into winter? Where do you see it going?
Look, I know it's simple to say, but if we can keep jagging these storms, it'll sort of slow the flow of cattle getting through the sale yards and also kill cattle to the processors, which is obviously simple supply and demand. That'll shorten up your supply, and then obviously there'll be more demand. So, look, they've done a 180 on the weather that everyone's obviously talking about. So hopefully we can just keep some good winter rain in the right spots. And there's a few paddocks of oats getting planted at the moment from here down to the south as well. So, and bumper sorghum crops up our way and further north as well. So it's very exciting.
Mate, what factors do you think we'll see at play this year? You know, you're talking about supply and demand, so it sounds like you're alluding to the rain is driving, you know, the cocky side of the market. Are things changing on the meat side?
From what I understand, the meat market is fairly strong at the moment. Positive, I should say, not strong, which is good. So hopefully that can flow on through to the farm gate. Yeah, it's you never really know what's going to be fully going on, but it's going to be a very positive year. Yep.
Yeah. And, mate, you're in the market every week, if not every day. What opportunities are you seeing at the moment and what are you talking about with your clients getting them into?
The main one at the moment on the trade side of things is because there's such a discrepancy between your buy price on steers and heifers at the moment, yeah, there's a difference in daily weight gain and whatnot. But I'm more of the opinion at the moment when there's such a difference between a buy price, I think there's more opportunity at the moment for a heifer. You can go and buy a sort of a background of heifer or even a feeder heifer to go into your own place or custom feed into a feedlot. So let's say 350 to 500 kilos, sort of $2.90 to $3.30 at the really nice end of an Angus heifer. Whereas your feeder steers and your background of steers are still calling for $3, let's say 55 up to $4.20 and $30 at your lighter back end of a steer. So I'm leaning towards heifers at the moment.
Do you see any geographical differences in the market from the different sale ads you're buying at the moment?
Definitely. So New South Wales, like, yeah, the season's good, but we're also short in a bit of places, which is there's a big difference. Queenslanders, when they get grass, you know what they like. Doesn't matter what they cost, they're just going to buy the cattle. And speak to guys at Augathella, all through the middle there, there's dual green grass, and they've had green grass for most of the summer as well, which is great. So yeah, we've got wiener sales coming up down this way from Inverell to Armidale down to sort of Cooma, Braidwood, Yass, Casino. We'll start finding a few of these Queensland blokes coming down our way Also, it's now not as hot up north. These southern cattle do melt if they go too far into Queensland, so it's just a timing thing, but they're coming.
Hi, I'm Pia, horticulture and sugar analyst at Rabobank, and I'm here to share our latest insights on Australia's vegetable market. Did you know in 2023, Australia produced over $5.8 billion worth of vegetables, though only 4.3% of this was exported? Like many other countries, the Australian vegetable industry relies mostly on its domestic market. In fact, only 7% of global vegetables produced are traded between countries. But we are starting to see that trend change. Global trade is growing at a faster rate than production, and countries with low-cost production are seeing the highest growth rates. You can learn more about trends in the vegetable market on our latest Rabo Research Australia podcast, Mapping World Vegetable Trade, or reach out to me via the Rabobank Australia social media channels to learn more.
And do you think with how the season's based around sort of northern New South Wales heading down south, like are the Queenslanders going to be driving the market this year?
Definitely. I think so, definitely. So Friday next week's casino's big main winner sale, and it's a heavy Euro cross breed selection, whereas, yeah, a lot of your Queenslanders are, that's their bread and butter. They love that sort of good crossbred cattle. Your Black Angus cattle do struggle a bit the further they go north, obviously, with the heat and the breed type. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting 3 or 4 months.
You've been described as a bit of a weather wrestler or boss of the belly. Mate, do you follow the sheep and lamb job, and can you talk to that market at the moment?
Not as much as I should. I don't mind butchering a few lambs, but I sort of need a bit, learn a bit more about the sheep job. But, yeah, definitely just poking along in the background.
And a bit of positivity on the lamb job, Tomo. There's some $8 contracts out for the middle of winter, so a couple of good opportunities for people to take some contracts and make some money.
That's it, isn't it, mate?
Anything on the wool front, Tom?
Yeah, what do you think? Where do you see the wool market going?
Oh, look, plenty of ups and downs throughout the year.
Yeah, there's a market. It'll go this and it'll go that. But the crossbred market's pretty crossbred wool market's pretty struggling massively, and the merino market's not strong. Like, there's not a huge amount of confidence in Europe. Like, you know, what's going on in Ukraine doesn't help any of that sort of stuff. So it makes it hard for that high-end retail to buy into. But my carpet isn't getting any cheaper than I'm trying to do in my house. So you tell me that. I don't know.
First world issues, couple of dinks, double income, no kids, really struggling, I'd imagine, Tom. Blaino, we talk about the Yeki a bit, and it's, I'd imagine listening to you, it's probably not what you track off, but can you tell us where you think it will go this year, or can you, you know, refer it back to a feeder price? Where do you think feeder prices will float around this year?
I actually just looked up the Yeki price before we had this little meeting. It's sitting around that sort of $6.30 or $35 at the moment. For your Yeki, sorry. And if we're going to call for Christmas, I'm more inclined that it's going to be lower than $6.35.
Why?
Why? It's supply and demand. I think there's going to be a lot of cattle getting turned off after the spring going into summer. And unfortunately, I think it's going to start getting a little bit dry again. So.
Mm-hmm. And do you play much in the Wagyu space? Where do you sort of see that job at the moment? And, you know, probably to what you alluded to as a whole, but.
Yeah, just dabble a little bit in the Wagyu space with a few clients. The understanding I've got is it's a cycle as well. When it, like we saw, up to $10 plus on feedery type weight Wagyu for proper well-bred F1s last year. I'm not sure where it's at now, but obviously when you see those sort of prices, everyone jumps. It's a bit of a bandwagon sort of response. Everyone then goes, oh, well, I want to go buy Wagyus. And then they, I don't know if they flood the market, but the guys who've been in it and have stuck through it year on year on year and focus on their genetics and their cow herd, well, that's obviously going to pay off for them. So,
yes.
Mate, you spend a little bit of time in the car. Talk us through, you know, you just got up, and the sun's not even up, you jump in the big 450 off to the sow yards. What are you listening to? Podcasts, music, audio books? Talk us through that.
In the morning, because I leave home about 4 o'clock, so it's actually silence in the car for the first hour. Just sort of gather my thoughts and wake up a bit and get ready for the day and run through a few numbers in your head. Light listening, I'm a heavy Joe Rogan fan. He's a bit of a chameleon. He can sort of talk to the conspiracy theorists and to the actual well-educated people too. So he's good for a listen. If I am feeling like educating myself a bit more, I might listen to Mark Boris. Big fan of Mark Boris, Mentor and Straight Talk. There's two podcasts. And then the occasional sort of business real estate, Australian business podcast, I think it's called, just to get me through for half an hour and then turn everything off again.
And obviously Humans of Ag for all your agricultural
heavy
needs. Mate, Tom, I recently just sort of touched on it there before, mate. I presume that you're a heavy Toyota man at the moment, but do you see yourself in a Dodge Ram or a pickup, F pickup at some point?
No, Dodge, no. Would love an F-150, but I think my money's better spent somewhere else.
More of a Toyota Corolla man?
Yeah, maybe a hybrid Kluger or something.
Whoa, what about a bit of music on the way to the sounds?
Yeah, no, it's a roller coaster as well. It's anything from Slim Dusty to a bit of Aussie hip hop or country music or, yeah, anything.
Are you much of a Western Sydney rap fan?
Yeah, 1-4, big fan.
Rattle off a few hits at 1-4 that you like to listen to just to get in the zone.
I'll send them to you.
There wouldn't be many cattle guys, I would imagine, rolling into Danny Drew's store sale, just smashing drill rap, I reckon. But, you know?
Stepping out of the Prado to catch up with a few of his eschers at Danny Drew.
Yeah, I had a bit of French rap on this morning in the truck, so.
Speak of French, dude.
I don't speak French, so.
Blaino, if you're a cut of steak, what would you be and why?
No, I'm through and through. I'll be a chuck eye or, yeah, chuck steak.
Just filling, but a bit hard?
No. Just a bit tougher in texture, but better in flavour, and also a bit cheaper to buy.
Can be tenderised, as your wife would allude to.
Yeah, and cheap, bit cheaper. Just as good as a Scotch fillet, just a bit cheaper.
If you were a bred bull, what type of bull would you be?
Me, semi-santa, all day, all bone.
A bit of floppy ear.
Yeah, a bit of ear.
Bit of pizzle.
Bit of pizzle, good confirmation.
That's quite good.
Well, Tomo, that's about it for me, mate.
Yeah, I don't have too much else. Well, thank you very much for your time, mate. Really appreciate it.
No, thanks for the shout-out.
No, thanks. Thanks, Bull Train. And if you're looking for a pretty handy cattle and sheep buyer, give Jimmy Blaine a call on 0417.
Give us a shout.
No, see us.